world is chaotic. And our lives and relationships and careers rarely go according to our plans. But Joseph's story is about finding redemption and grace and the good plan of God along the unexpected path. God was with Joseph. And God's plan will not fail. The story that God was writing in Joseph's life and in your life today is a story of redemption. Do you trust Him?
So one of my absolute favorite movies from when I was a kid was The Neverending Story. Do you remember this? Some of you are too young. I'm sorry. Some of you might be too old. I'm not sure. So The Neverending Story was a pretty cheesy if you watch it now, but it was the 80s, you know, so everything was a little cheesy. But in The Neverending Story, there's a boy named Bastian, and he is a troubled young lad, and he stumbles across this mysterious book, and he starts reading the book, and in it, he enters into the world of Fantasia, and there's a princess, and there's a warrior named Atreyu, and he comes across a luck dragon named Falcor, and so many cool things. And then there's a terrible enemy called the Nothing, and which was terrifying when I was younger. But so as Bastian reads this book, he finds himself being drawn into the story. And eventually he sees that he himself is in the story. The story becomes real. It's not just like a made-up fairy tale. And he sees that he actually has a key role to play in the story. And I love this movie on so many levels because this is exactly what happens when you read the Bible. In the Bible, we see the story of God, who God is, of His character and His nature, who He is. We also see what He has done in the past, His creative work, His creation, His saving work, the salvation that He is working out throughout human history. But then we also see what God is doing even today through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the church and all throughout the world. And finally, we see what God has planned for the future, the return of Christ, and the restoration of justice and righteousness in a new heaven and earth. Now, this is a story which is so much higher and greater and grander than you could possibly imagine. And it runs from eternity past to eternity future. And when you see this story and you understand that you actually have the opportunity to play a key role in it, it changes you forever. It gives you a greater purpose, and it gives you a better perspective to face whatever happens in your story. So we've been working through the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis in the Bible. And it's an ancient story of long suffering and yet redemption. And today we're going to see that Joseph could see his story in light of God's story. And it made all the difference in his life. It gave him greater purpose and a better perspective on his suffering and his success. It gave him stability and security in the face of his suffering. Great trials, but it also gave him humility, insight, and courage in the face of what became his great influence and responsibility. And if I could wish anything for your life, it would be that you could see your story in God's story. So if you have your Bibles or Bible apps, please go to Genesis chapter 45, starting in verse 1. We're going to read through this story. We're going to unpack it as we go. And I hope that today you'll see how you can see your story in God's story, and that it might just change you in the best way possible. Genesis 45, starting in verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Now let's pause there for a moment. So our story takes place almost 4,000 years ago, first in the land of Canaan, which became known as the nation of Israel, and now in ancient Egypt. The Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, had entered into a relationship with the family of Abraham and Sarah. If we look on a timeline, we can see in rough, round numbers when in history these things take place. Abraham was roughly 2000 BC. Roughly 1500 BC is the time of Moses, and then King David. And then after David, the people of Israel were scattered and exiled into Assyria and Babylon. And then around 500 BC, they rebuild the city during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And finally, that leads up to the time of Jesus himself. This is the timeline of the story of the ancient people of Israel. Now, God had chosen the family of Abraham and Sarah and promised to make them a great nation through which their offspring was to be a blessing to all nations. And God would give them the land of Canaan as well, became known as the Promised Land. They would be his people, and he was to be their God. Abraham's great-grandson was Joseph. So as we've said, Joseph started out as an arrogant young man. Joseph was hated by his brothers. They sold him as a slave, and he found himself in the land of Egypt, far from home, with no real hope of ever seeing his family or his future in the land of Canaan. But he was then falsely accused and thrown into prison and forgotten for years. But then, in the providence of God, Joseph was remembered, and he was brought out of prison into the palace because he was the only one who could interpret the dreams of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. Now, Joseph had been humbled over the years of his suffering, and now he was ready to be used by God for the saving of many lives through his plan to face a great famine that was coming in the land of Egypt. And now here, years later, he's reunited with the very brothers who sold him as a slave 23 years before. But Joseph is no longer this arrogant young man. He's now the prime minister of the greatest, most powerful nation on the planet in this time. The brothers don't recognize him at first because he's dressed and he speaks as an Egyptian. But here he reveals himself to them. Last week we saw how, before revealing himself, he tested his brothers to ensure that their hearts had been changed as his had been changed, to see if they demonstrated the fruit of repentance for their sin of selling him. And they do. They had been changed. They demonstrated true repentance for what they had done and showed that they were now willing to protect their brother Benjamin. In fact, Judah was even willing to become a slave in his place, trading places with his brother. So here Joseph reveals himself, and they're terrified. It's like they've seen a ghost. Joseph was back from the dead, but now he had authority over them. Their lives were in his hands, and they were deeply afraid. But look at how Joseph responds. Look in verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Now, this was a great secret of the brothers. Had they told anyone that they had sold their brother? No. They made up the lie that Joseph was attacked and killed by a wild animal. The only one who would know that they had sold their brother Joseph was Joseph. And he reveals that to them as evidence that he is who he claims to be. Verse 5, "And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you and your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute." Joseph is no longer arrogant or prideful. He is humble enough to see his story in light of God's story. 3 times he says that God sent him to Egypt. Did you see that? God sent me ahead of you. You see, from his perspective, he could have said, you know, in spite of you, my brothers, God provided for me, protected me, and blessed me here in this land. But he doesn't even say that. He sees his story from God's perspective, and from God's perspective, God was repositioning Joseph, sending him ahead of the brothers. That's what was happening from God's perspective. Why? Well, what was God's story? God was forming a great nation through the family of Abraham, and he had promised to be faithful to them. Look at verse 5. It says, "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." So God had sent Joseph ahead of his brothers to be a blessing to them and their families. God was faithful to his people through Joseph. Why? Verse 7. "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a great remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance." God had sent Joseph because a great famine was coming and they needed a great deliverance. They needed salvation. So how would God accomplish this? Look at verse 8. "So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household." And then later he says, "Lord of all Egypt." Joseph was second in command, second only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had made him his chief of staff over his household. He made him prime minister over the nation of Egypt. That was how God would provide this great deliverance for his people and other peoples around the world. This was the method of God's saving work in this time and place. And we see God's purposes for Joseph. And his purposes were so much greater than Joseph could have imagined. So most of us, if we're honest, have very small hopes and dreams. We only hope to have enough money to get by or maybe pay down some credit card debt. We only hope that nothing too tragic happens to anybody too close to us, and that hopefully our kids don't do anything too bad to get in too much trouble. I don't know if you're like that, but sometimes I think our hopes for our lives are very small. So we're just hoping, and I think that this is natural, that we see the purpose of our life to be comfortable, to be safe. Over the years as a pastor, I've talked with many people who had encountered something painful or something difficult in their life. And their perspective is that their purpose is to be comfortable and safe. And all these difficult things in their lives must be obstacles to fulfilling their purpose. And I understand that. I totally sympathize with that. But that is such a small view of life. You see, Christians believe that God is alive and personal and has a plan for the future. So ultimately, everything that we see in creation is part of His story. The Almighty God isn't part of my story. I am part of His story. And this changes everything. This perspective shift changes everything in your life. For Joseph, it wasn't just that he had a difficult family and had, throughout the years, faced some injustice, hardship, and pain. That wasn't how he saw his story. He saw his story as part of the far bigger story of God. And from that perspective, he saw his true purpose. So looking back on his story, Joseph's identity was shaped by God's story. When he was a slave, his identity was not that ultimately of a slave. He was one who had been sent by God. When he was in prison and his brothers had rejected him and his employer had believed the lies about him and rejected him, Joseph did not see his identity ultimately as one who was rejected, because he was being repositioned for the exact right place in the exact right time to accomplish God's saving purposes. He couldn't see God's plan for his life until he had suffered. Let's finish this passage, verse 12. Verse 12, "You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you." Why does he say that about Benjamin? Because Benjamin was his full brother. The other brothers in the family of Jacob, or also known as Israel, were his half-brothers. So he's appealing to his full-blooded brother. "Benjamin can tell you, it's me. I'm Joseph. I knew the secret that you sold me. Benjamin can attest to the truth that I am who I claim to be." Verse 13. "Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. They embrace, they weep, they talk together. Here Joseph and his brothers experience the gift of reconciliation, of repentance and forgiveness, leading to the full restoration of a relationship. It's such a beautiful thing. So the brothers take the good news back to their aging father and bring him and their families and all their possessions to Egypt to be reunited and experience God's blessing as a family once again. And it was all because Joseph saw his story as being part, small part as it was, being part of God's story. Because of this, he was able to save many lives and preserved a remnant of God's people on earth to prosper and grow eventually into a whole nation of people. So what does this mean for us today? God's story is the key to all of our stories. God's story is the key to all of our stories. You see, when we're seeking God, we often seek Him so that He might come into our lives, into our stories, in order to fix something or mend something or heal something, to help us in some way. But when God comes in, we discover that we're only a tiny part of His great and grand story. When God comes in, we find that we are such a small part of His creation. And yet, shockingly, unbelievably, we find that He wants us to be part of His story. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He does know us, and He does love us, and He welcomes us into His life and into His story, into a relationship with Him. And really, this is the heart of the gospel, or the good news about Jesus. It's that you are not the center of the universe, but there is one who is. And He's far grander, far greater. And He actually wants you. And He actually loves you. And He's actually willing to go to great lengths so that you can have a relationship with Him. This is the announcement of what the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus was all about. This is the announcement that's at the heart of who we are as a church. Our mission of sharing good news really is a mission to share this story of God, which is found in the Bible. That's what the whole Bible is about. It's sharing this story, not first of who we are, but first of who God is. But then once we see who God is, we see Him as our creator and our sustainer, and then we understand who He has made us to be, to bear His image, to reflect His image back out into this world. We discover who we are in light of God's story. Our story starts to make more sense when we know God's story. Because as the story unfolds, we discover that the world has been broken and marred in many ways by the power of sin and death. And that explains so much of what happens in our lives that is a result of that brokenness, that distortion, that false way of thinking. But the story doesn't stop there, because it goes on through the fall to sin, and it goes through into this plan, an unfolding plan and purpose of God for redemption, for salvation. The great deliverance that God did in rescuing His people from the famine is just a little picture. It's like a little sign pointing to the coming great deliverance that would come through Jesus Christ. Because people today, we don't need deliverance from hunger. Most importantly, the most important thing we need deliverance, we need salvation from, is being separated from this God who made us, formed us, sustains us, loves us, and calls us into a relationship with Him. And so this deliverance from this famine points the way to the one who would come. The Son of God come from heaven, Jesus Christ, eternal Son of God, became flesh and became a human being and walked among us and taught about His coming kingdom and performed many miracles. He fed many hungry people as yet another picture of this coming salvation and deliverance of God, providing for us the substance of life itself. And so Joseph then becomes a sign pointing the way to the coming Christ, the one who would redeem finally, once and for all, the people of God. So today, in light of the accomplished work of Christ, we can put our faith and trust in Jesus. He has accomplished everything that we need for our great deliverance. He has made a way so that our stories can be drawn up into this great story of God, so that the gospel story, the good news about Jesus Christ, becomes the key to all of our stories. Because in Christ, like in the never-ending story, we can enter into the story of God. The gospel says that by faith in Christ, God the Father can become our Father, and we become His children. In His family, the gospel says that by faith in Christ, our great enemies of sin and death have been defeated by Christ, and His victory becomes our victory by faith in Him alone. Everything that you've ever wanted or longed for or hoped or dreamt of is found and fulfilled in Christ. He is the key. All of the plot lines of all of the stories of all of history come together in Christ. So how does this change our perspective? The gospel works backwards and forwards. First, backwards. The gospel works backwards by reframing your past in light of God's gracious and redemptive story. That's what happened with Joseph. He could look back on his story and see his story in light of God's story, and he was able to reframe what had happened to him. Once you know the gospel, you can never think about your past with the same perspective ever again. Past sin, past guilt, past shame are forgiven and wiped clean. Never to hold an accusing or condemning power over you ever again. Past struggles become purposeful and a sign of our Father's faithful, loving kindness in working for our good, even through the darkest of our days. Never to be a testimony of our failure, but only ever of God's grace to us. The gospel provides an incredibly redemptive view of our past. But then the future. The gospel always also works forward, reframing your future in light of God's power and His promises for you in Christ. Once you know the gospel, you can never think of your future with the same perspective ever again. Because future victory and success no longer is based on your current circumstances or resources or abilities or even on your obedience. Your future in Christ is held in the very capable hands of God. And so fear and anxiety and worry for your future are able to diminish in light of the radiant glory of the resurrected Christ seated on His throne, reigning and ruling at the right hand of God the Father to this day. What do you have to fear? What really do you have to worry about? In the gospel, we know how the story ends, and it's that Satan and sin and death and hell are defeated in Christ. There is no doubt. Don't you see how this gospel-centered perspective can give you a greater purpose? Like Joseph, we can see our purpose as well in light of the saving work of God and what that salvation looks like in our world today. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. To us, the disciples of Jesus, we have been sent. Three times Joseph declared that he had been sent by God. In Christ, we too have been sent by God to the place, to the people that we find ourselves among here and now. In our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, you have been sent. You are not positioned as an accident or as something random or chaotic. You have been sent in Christ. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So as Christians, we are sent out into this dark world with a message of light, with a message of good news that's for everyone, everywhere. We need to hear it. We need to believe it. We are lost without it. And so we might be sent ahead of our brothers or our coworkers or neighbors. We have been positioned exactly where we need to be and when we need to be in order to fulfill God's good purposes in and through our lives. In Christ, you're in the story. This is God's story, but you have a great and glorious role to play. God has chosen you because he loves you and he goes with you and he empowers you. So don't you dare believe anything less for your perspective or your purposes in this life. It's God's story. When you see that though, it does change your perspective and it gives you a greater purpose to face whatever happens in your story. I long for you to see your life in light of God's story. May you see your story in light of the great story of God in Christ, and may you never be the same. Let us pray.